Okay, let's assemble ourselves, get ready for a morning of worship. This week was a great week. I'm really sorry this church isn't packed this morning to experience what we experienced this week. It was absolutely phenomenal watching 120 young people play and worship together, study the Word of God together. I appreciated Chris Daig because every morning, Chris and Laura Daig, every morning, they all, 120 of them, had to be out for the flag raising, Pledge of Allegiance, and in the evening for the flag lowering. And each of those sessions, raising and lowering, each day they had three different young people maneuver the flag, hooking it up, unhooking it, folding it up, unfolding it, hooking it, and then folding it. And I wonder how many of them have that experience in their life, at school, home, whatever. If they're scouts, they probably do. But it just, to me, was so super to just instill in them, hey, this is why we're free to do what we do. It's because of this flag and because of the men and women who have served in the service of our country. It was just a wonderful week. And over the next few weeks, I'll reiterate and go over some things. Just a moment before we even get into things, of just things of praise. I was just amazed at Brian and Larry Wise. Friday night, they had a big party for their daughter, getting ready to go to college. And then Monday, she started the camp, and then her mother went into surgery Tuesday, and she's just a trooper. I appreciate that very much, Larry, all that you did. That was really super. We'll talk about your mother in a little bit in prayer time. And very thankful to Chris and Laura Daig. Chris was so funny. He said, this is the first year of Monday. I feel like something's wrong because I'm so relaxed. Everything's just going so fine. I said, well, it took you a few years, but you got it down now. And Jordy Brown was there, a good friend now in Indiana, and he started Glen Haven Youth Ranch. And he said, if we talk, he said, I know from experience all the behind-the-scenes things that Chris and Laura had to get done. And he said, I'm just blown away, just amazed at the organization and all, and so appreciated that. And this morning I'll tell you more, but then over the weeks I'll give you even more. It was really wonderful. Thursday night we had a baptismal service, and we didn't have a baptistry, but we did have a big lake. So we thought, well, let's just do it in the big lake then, since we don't have a baptistry. And so we got to baptize 8 and 7 young people and 1 adult, and that was really wonderful. And I came home, and my grandson, Jace, came over yesterday, spent some time with us, and he sat down and we started talking. He said, I want to be baptized. And I just was so in my soul, can't tell you how happy that made me. We talked about it, and I think he's ready. So we'll set a time and date and do it at our pool. And just to be able to baptize our own grandchildren, it's going to be really wonderful to be able to do that. So, Ace, I'm very thankful you wanted me to do that, and that's just really super. And just go through some of the things that happened this week at camp with you. And it was just, as I said, just overwhelming to see young people playing together so well, getting along. I don't know of any fights. Did we have any fights?
None
that from pretty blood. they have an obstacle course that I think every young girl should be made to go through. But anyway, it ends with a mudder. They got through crawl through the mud. And that's always exciting. And but it just, the whole week, and then to watch their concentration in the study of the Word of God. and I mean concentration, to it made me happy each of the times that I spoke. Let's open our Bibles to a verse, and I need somebody to read it. Hands went up, and different young people would read different verses. And it was just, I just love that. Love to hearing the pages rattling and looking for it, looking at the table of content, looking going through it. I those kind of things I loved as to what was going on spiritually. Fun-wise, great. Spiritually, phenomenal. In regard to the camp and what I'm going to ask you to pray for, we've been in prayer for the camp. The camp is over. Your prayer is not. I want you to pray that the God of the Holy Spirit take the things they learned this week and remember or cause them to remember them and be motivated by them to go to church where the Word of God is taught in truth and to continue their relationship with the Lord. That's going to be what I'm going to be talking about in the next few Sundays in regard to your prayer time, to be in prayer for these young people. It's not over. The prayer time is now starting, so we'll get into that. So let's begin with the word of prayer, and then have a hymn and a couple of things, and then I'll turn it over to Chris. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this humble assembly. We thank you for the wonderful opportunities you give this assembly. The internet, missionaries, our young people, so many different things. And then, of course, right here in our own assembly. And Father, we pray that you just continue using this assembly for the spreading of the gospel, teaching others the word of God and of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the theme for the camp was hope. Now, I know we've sang this now, I think the last two Sundays, getting ready for camp. But now it's just a summing up of things. Let's open the hymnals to 337, The Solid Rock, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. So let's stand and sing together. Let's talk about a few of the prayer requested things. First of all, Larry, tell us how your mother's doing after surgery Tuesday.
She's doing well. Leah went home yesterday, had taken care of her for the last few days. She's starting to sleep a little better, which has been a struggle with all the different medications she's been taking. She's moved now pain-wise just to Tylenol, which is a great relief to move off of the narcotics that they give you, but she's feeling a little stronger every day. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So what kind of things do we want to be in prayer for?
Pray for her ability to relax so she can sleep well. Pray for her. We don't want any infection during this time.
Okay, that's good prayer.
Her next appointment is August 10th.
Okay, very good. Tish had some eye work done, and it didn't go all that well. So how's she doing, Leslie?
I'm good. Yeah, the lens just moved slightly, and so they had to go in and put a stitch in it to keep it in place. And
a stitch in the eye?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so it's a little blurry and a little bloody, but other than that, she's not too bad.
Hate blood. Right. And so she's doing a little better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll be in prayer for Tish, be in prayer for Pat. Let's see. Jordy Brown, I have a good friend. He's a pastor of Atlanta, a Christian church in Atlanta, Indiana. While he was at camp, he got a call, and a lady in the church, it's about 60, her name is Sue. Well, 4 years ago, she had a brain tumor, and they got that taken care of, and they knew it could come back. Well, it came back while he was at camp, and so now she's got to make up her mind if she wants to go through the surgery all over again and go through all that. And her husband's taking it pretty rough. So please be in prayer for Sue, her husband, and for the entire assembly there. And these kind of things happen. It affects the entire assembly. Is there any other prayer request that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Yes. Our daughter-in-law, Lori, her father, Frank Gillette, passed away yesterday. So be in prayer for the
family. Was it unexpected?
He had all the time. And they knew it was down to the end. So okay. They knew he was going. He was.
Be in prayer for the family then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Yes.
Our nephew, my oldest sister's boy, was in a motorcycle accident Friday night.
Ooh.
He is in ICU. Thank God he had a full helmet and shield on, but he's in bad, bad shape.
So where is he?
He's in Virginia. He is in the Navy, and they have hip replacement or femur surgery today. I mean, he's in bad shape, so he is not out of the woods. He's not even stable yet. So, but they've got to start putting him back together. So.
My friend John Hintz, it was months before he was stable, wasn't it, hon? But it was several months before he was even stable.
So he's 30 years old. He's got a wife and a young son.
And what's his name?
His name is Mark Lovejoy.
Mark Lovejoy. Please be in prayer for Mark, his wife, his family, and himself as far as the healing is concerned. That's just motorcycle accidents can be really, really bad. They're a lot of fun, but they're really dangerous. Yes.
My grandma just got tested for cancer and it came back positive. So she has colon cancer, so they're gonna go on Monday to see like where it is and what's happening, but I just pray that she's gonna be okay.
Do you know grandma's first name?
Julia.
Huh?
Julia.
I wouldn't know my grandmother's first name. I'm 75 and I still don't know Nanny's first name. That was always, what's her name? Nanny, that's her name. So her name is?
Julia.
All right, let's be in prayer for Julia. And we'll be in prayer for Julia and for the cancer recovery, doctors, decisions that have to be made on a family. Okay, very good. We'll be in prayer. Yes.
An update on my dad. He had an endoscopy on Friday, and they did not find a bleed. So they're still looking for why his counts keep dropping. So he'll go in on August 9th for a colonoscopy. If they find it, they can repair it while they're in there, hopefully. Just patch it or whatever. And then once that's taken care of, they're going to start doing the laser therapy on the new tumors that he's got. So that'll take place after August 16th, probably. We'll meet with a radiologist oncologist at Baker. And so we'll start a whole new...
So when does Johnny go back?
To the oncologist? Or
yeah, just to go back to the hospital.
Yeah, that'll be in around August 16th. But he goes August 9th for colonoscopy. And
okay.
I really hope they find the source of this blood that's leaking. Because okay. Something's dropping his hemoglobin and they don't think it's...
Be in prayer for Johnny. He had planned on going back to California, I understand, to visit and cancel that. That's right.
He's just real tired. He's not like real sick or anything, so.
Just real tired. Okay. Give us an idea of what we should be in prayer for Johnny.
Just pray that the cancer, the tumors don't grow anymore while we're waiting to have treatment. And
they find the source of the
bleeding.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Any other prayer requests or not? Yes, Jim?
Faye, my former wife, is having cataract surgery this week, coming up week. So.
Are you doing it?
No, it's out in California.
Oh, I'm
going. No better than that.
Wisdom in your old age, Jim.
The two-legged smart.
We'll be in prayer for Faye. Thank you for letting us know. Very good. All right, any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. This means one who personally has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here and have never done that, then the offering plate, of course, is no issue whatsoever. It's a family issue. But even if you're a believer, come out and be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Because it's the Spirit who guides us what to do with our time and our money. So we want to be in the Holy Spirit in regard to giving, in regard to our time, in regard to all these areas in our life. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. And I'm sorry, let's just get ready for another year of various type of events to have money for next year's camp. People, I love it that our camp doesn't cost. I got some grandchildren went to a camp, $500 a person. And I just, you know, and I'm so thankful. Jody Brown and I talked about it. 120 is perfect. We don't need 300 people. Just that's a perfect place and the perfect number. Did I say something wrong? Y'all thinking about a new place for 500?
Yeah, we're blowing it out next
time. But it just, they have, when you have that group, they can have camaraderie, friendships can be formed that can last a little while. And like I said, one third of the 120 were new, not a third, were new this time. And I know of seven who believed in Christ for the first time. And so it just this is our part in it, be able to support it, not only with prayer, even though to me prayer is the most important part, you're calling on divine power. But we got to support it financially and then support it and getting things done. Did y'all get things cleaned up Friday?
Yes. Very, very smooth.
Very smooth. All right. Brian, did you do more than your work to get it cleaned up?
No, we had some people came in and helped cleaned up, and we were out of there by noon.
Wow, very good.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that. Very good. Man, if we keep doing this, you and Chris just kind of think y'all don't have a job.
You get a swing and sit out there and watch it.
I'll start calling you Herman.
Well, Jody and I wanted to know the Bay Area where we slept and the mess hall, the dining hall, and we had to walk back and forth. I said, why come we don't have us a golf cart to go back and forth? Brian runs around on a golf cart. Why don't we have one? I said, well,
it's probably 50 yards at least.
So we just had a wonderful time, so we'll get through that. Let's pray for offertory. Father, we do thank you for this humble assembly, the opportunities you give us. And any opportunity you give, Father, we pray that we'll be in Christ enough to stand up and take it. Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you continue to use this assembly, the spreading of the gospel, teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Thank you. this morning. Turn it over to Chris Dagg, and just go with it. You'll tell us about it. Thank you very much. Oh, you need this. Okay, don't y'all like our tailor? We all have
the brilliant.
All right, well, we're getting the technology set up here. I wanted to take a moment to, hold on, I can't do two things at once. I put my password in wrong while I was talking. There we go. I wanted to take a moment to just say thank you to so many people, so many that are not even here, but wanted to make sure that everybody understands that it's the whole congregation. It's the support of everybody that's in this room. It's like Pastor Maddox talks about all the time. It's a very humble assembly. There's not a ton of us sitting here, but there are a ton of us that are in prayer all the time with regards to the camp and to the young people. There are folks that are on the internet that listen on the internet and are part of our outreach. I've become pen pals with Miss Phyllis out in Florida, and she sends us stuff all the time and words of encouragement, and it's awesome. I look forward to having a chance to meet her face to face someday. And I asked her to camp. I told her she could be in charge of the obstacle course, and she said at her age she'd have to whoop up on everybody a little bit, but and I know she will hear this, so my love to you, Miss Phyllis. But we have folks that are behind the scenes that don't come out there necessarily and dive in the mud and run around and get hot and sweaty, but you guys are back here praying every day, and it's felt, it's appreciated. And we have folks that that run our administration side of the house, and I mean, there's no way we're going to get all of the administrative pieces done without their help, because the state of Texas requires us to do like 700 things in order to, you know, pieces of paper in order to make sure that we're compliant with the state laws. And we actually got audited last year. This year we had everything in order and nobody came and checked. But we're okay with that, because nothing ever good comes from audits. But we talked this morning. Pastor Maddox has already done the prayer, but I wanted to put these prayer requests out for everybody. As you leave here today, put these on in your mind, in your prayer list. Fassel and Carrie, or Carrier. She doesn't see this, but Fassel and Carrie. Carrie and Trish drove over from Arizona to be a part of the camp this year. And Fassel is over in Pakistan, and they're building a church over there. And the orphanage is continuing to grow over there. And he is in the middle of the battle. I mean, you want to talk about right dead center of the epicenter of the fight. That's it. And he's over there doing it. And it's tough on Carrie. Her husband is away, and he's in harm's way. So please raise them up in prayer as often as you think of them. Jody Brown, which we already mentioned. The campers, new believers. We have some new believers. And we know seven. Jody did an invitation, and some of them raised their hands. I've never done that. I don't necessarily ask them to raise their hands if they're new believers, because it's not about the numbers. If we spent $30,000 to put this camp on and one kid was saved, guess what? It's worth every penny of it. And that's kind of why we don't really spend a lot of time talking about numbers. We do. We know how many got baptized because we're watching. That's pretty cool. We actually had a brother and sister that got baptized, and their mom said, "Can I be baptized with them?" And she came down, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. They are dear friends of our family, and that was really, really awesome. The staff. So be in prayer for all of the staff, our college students that are getting ready to take off. They gave their week of time right before a lot of them are getting ready to pack up and head off to college. They just graduated from high school, getting ready to leave from mom and dad's and go to college. So there's a lot weighing on them, and they set it all aside to come be a part of camp and be a part of this event, which was amazing. Trish, Judy, Hayden, Nick. Nick is here, joined us today. You look awful dapper there, young man. I didn't recognize you when you walked in, because you weren't wearing a T-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. So first time I've ever seen him in anything besides flip-flops in
shorts.
Yeah, it's like Lisa and Casey and Tana got to be a part of camp again this year, which was really cool. And then our seasons staff is we call them seasons now, right? I'm not sure when we graduate into being seasoned, but it's the group that takes a little longer to recover before we have to go back to work on Monday morning, right? So be in prayer for everybody there, and then the support team as well. So please add these to your prayer requests as you continue to pray for the outreach to these kids. So what we taught this week was our verse was Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we got to spend a lot of time talking about hope, and it was really awesome. Because we've talked about faith, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about the gospel, and this kind of tied things together to say, hey, what is this stuff all about? I mean, what are you looking forward to, right? And it is our hope. And we talked a little bit about hope versus wishes, right? The English language is not very... very precise. One moment. I need to turn this off. Brought on my son and then I'll do it. So, I'm just kidding. Thank you for pointing that out in the middle of my talk here. You do this to your teachers too, don't you? Yeah, you do. That's why we get those notes. Hope versus wishes, right? Versus our hope is eternal. We spend a lot of time thinking about what we wish for, right? We wish a desire or something that may or may not happen. I wish I'd win the lottery. I wish the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl. That's a huge wish. It may or may not happen. In fact, it's more likely not going to happen than it ever will happen. So as we've proven out over the last 20 years. So we spend a lot of time with the I hope of certain things are going to happen. And if we ever stop and really think about the time we spent wishing for things, it's very us-focused. It's very me-centered. It's very, I want this because this will make me happy. I want this because I think this would be cool. I. And it's all very time-bound. Right? How much time do we say, I wish I could find a Savior that would save me eternally? We just don't talk like that. Right? We don't think about those things. But where should we be thinking about? Should we be thinking about the eternal hope, the biblical hope, an expectation built on confidence in the provider, right? I have hope that the Lord will provide me salvation. And yes, I know I left the word off. And so we spent a lot of time talking about that this week. What is hope? What is it? And how do we get it? And so, as I mentioned, we talk about a lot of these things where I hope I make the team. I hope I get asked to the dance. I hope I get a new game for my birthday. I hope my parents stay together. I hope I pass my classes. I hope I get into that college that I really wanted to get into. I hope there is a tomorrow. And that's a wish, right? If we stop and think about all the things we hope for, the hope of tomorrow, waking up in the morning, is a wish. I wish I would wake up in the morning. We don't know whether we're going to wake up in the morning or not, right? I guarantee you my nephew didn't think that he was going to be laying on a bed in a hospital trying to determine if there was a tomorrow when he took off on Friday night and went out. We don't know. Only God knows if there's a tomorrow. But that doesn't mean we can't have hope. We wish for the temporary. God promises the eternal. God promises the eternal. The things we hope for need to be eternal. The things we wish for, sure, we wish for something today, but we can't take it with us. But we hope for the eternal. Biblical hope, and this was what Pastor Maddox was 1, 2, 3, 4, right? The kids were just rattling this thing off, and by the end of the week it was pretty funny because he had changed the dynamic a little bit. He had gone over this the first day, and he said there's four things, and he went confidence, assurance, comfort, and future. And then on the next day he taught, he said, all right, I want to talk about these three things. I want confidence, assurance, comfort. And the kids are going, what happened to the future? And by the end of his class, they started rattling off future and adding it to him. And they got the biggest kick out of the fact that he got up there. And by the end of the second class, when he'd been going confidence, assurance, comfort, they finally, at the end, they got him to say future. And they were like, yay! It was, but you know what? he had him paying attention the entire time, because even if it was that one little thing, it's like, man, I got to get him to say future. They had to listen, and they had to listen, and they had to hear. And it was awesome. And the kids, the campers did, I won't call them all kids because some of them are young men and women. They did a fantastic job of paying attention. It was really awesome. Normally by Thursday afternoon, everybody is so wiped out that you really have like 5 minutes of attention time, and then their heads start going boom, boom, right? This kind of stuff. They didn't do it. I mean, that was the time when he said, they go, one, two, three. They're like, come on, where's the future stuff, right? And it was really awesome. But the point is that the biblical hope, it's confidence, it's assurance, it's comfort, it's the future. It's not looking at the right here, right now. And when we're talking about the future, we're not talking about the little bit of time that we spend alive on this earth. We're talking about the future of eternity, right? And that's where our hope comes in. And if you read this differently, in the way that we put it with the confidence, assurance, comfort, and future, it says, may the God of hope, may the God of confidence, assurance, and comfort in the future fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with confidence, with assurance, with comfort, with a view to the future by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's all about, and that's what we spend a lot of time talking to these kids about. And where does that all come from? It comes from the gospel. There is no hope without the gospel. There's no future without the gospel. I mean, we're all going to be around forever. It's eternal. It's just, but how much comfort, how much assurance do you have if you don't have salvation? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have confidence in what's going to happen? When the wheels come off of your life, i.e. my nephew who's sitting here going, whoa, what's happening? My sister who's watching her little boy trying to, he's 30 years old, but that's her little boy, right? That's her youngest, that's her baby boy laying there. And the fact of the matter is if you don't know the salvation, if you don't know what's coming, if you don't know that He's got something beyond, and oh, by the way, He is a believer, if you don't know these things, then where do you fall apart? I mean, where do you put your hope? Where do you anchor yourself, right? What holds you steadfast to what's true? Nothing. You just float around and react to everything that happens. But the gift, the gospel is the gift, God's unfailing love, the hope, our help, our shield, right? It's our salvation. This is eternal. Probably should have spell checked this before I was in it. Yeah. I know Ben's job next year. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. You're saved eternally, right? And that's what it's all about. And that's where our hope is. This hope anchors the soul. And Pastor Maddox was teaching on Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast and one which enters within the veil. And we've studied this all before, right? We know what we're talking about, getting to go behind the veil and having a personal relationship with God. And that's our hope. That's where we spend all of our time. That's where we should be looking. That's when we say, I hope for something, it ought to be, I hope that what I do today pays dividends for eternity. I hope that my citizenship in heaven will reflect in my everyday life. I hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me, will fill my soul with joy and peace and comfort. I hope that the Holy Spirit will give me the power to be able to glorify God in all the things that I do. Because that's eternal stuff. I wish the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl. Right? That's here and now. And it doesn't really matter. It does to some people. But it doesn't really matter. I can't stand the Cowboys. Anyway. And so that's what we talked about up at camp. And that's what we were teaching these kids. And I think it was a very powerful week of conversations. It was a powerful week of prayer and relationships and devotions. And I just want to make sure that you all understand that they are being taught the truth when they go up there. And that's what it's all about for us. And I'm going to go back. I didn't skip it. This was our what we're talking about. We're going to sing a song. Do I have that one? This is mine, right? So if you all would join me Let me just make sure this is going to work. I will. So this is one of the songs we sang up at camp, and I would like to enjoy this with you all. Would everybody like to stand and join us in song?
We carry that kind of weight. He was mine too, till I met you. I'm breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. He was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness and in your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all I know. My old made new,
Jesus,
when I met you. When you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Oh, Dad, come on.
Name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
All right. Beautiful, very nice. Yeah, we need to get one of those people to know how to do all this stuff. Nick, you're welcome to join us for church every Sunday, my friend. Nick kept us honest on the audiovisual and electronics and technology stuff. But that awesome song, we'll see if we can get it to play later in closing. But let me see if I can get back to where I was. So what I'd like to do now is we have some campers that are here. Right, and I'd like all of our campers to come up, and staff, I'm going to go ahead and give you a sneak preview here. I'm going to ask you guys this question right here, right? What did you take away from this week? But I'm going to ask my campers to come on up here, if you guys would come up here. It'd be awesome. We're going to ask them first. What did you guys take away from this week, and what was your favorite thing? All right. Who? Yeah. We'll let you still... I think the comment was, Nick was the biggest camper we had in camp, which was awesome because you were in the middle of everything all the time and gave 100%. So, all right. Here, take that and don't get too close to it. Like that.
Okay.
What did you take away from this week, and what was your favorite thing?
I think the main thing that I took away from this week was the difference between hope and wishes, because I never really noticed how much I was saying hope. That wasn't, like, what I was saying weren't really, like, hopes. They were mainly wishes. And my favorite thing about camp was just getting to be with all my friends that, like, believed the same thing as me. That was a big deal for me because it was just fun to see that.
Awesome.
I think this was my favorite year
at camp because I learned the most. I learned the true meaning of hope, and I think this is going to help me the most going into my freshman year. And I am so scared, but I think that it's not just going to help me, but when I see my friends struggling, I can definitely help them and just say, like, you know, you got this. Like, if you just have hope, you will have peace. Like, that's what I learned. And my favorite thing was probably just being with people that believe the same thing that I do for a week, because that's just nice, like, get away from the world for a week and be with all these people.
What I took away from camp was what hope truly means, not, like, just a wish, like Ryan said. I couldn't think of anything else. and then my favorite thing about camp was having, like, true connections with my friends, because a lot of friends at school I don't have, like, real connections with, but, like, these people from camp, yeah, I had the spiritual connection, not just a physical.
All right, so what I took from this week was, there's a lot of stuff. So it was just cool to learn what, I'm going to say it differently than y'all. To learn what hope really was, like, that we have the comfort and we have the assurance and we know where we're going. And it's like we have that to look forward to. It's not like it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. We're going to be in heaven. And we're going to spend eternity with God the Father and His Son. And so that was cool. I mean, it's just cool to learn. I knew it already, but it's cool to have that reinforced. And then I have a lot of favorite things from the week. So this year I was junior staff, and I got to be a junior counselor. And I was with Nick. Nick was the senior counselor in that. And and we were with the 6th and 7th graders. And those guys were crazy. They were something else. But it was just fun. We got to have a lot of fun with them, and they have a lot of energy, so we got to use a lot of energy keeping up with them. This was more exhausted than I've ever been after camp. The luau was really cool for me, because after the luau, the band guys that came out there, and we were all worshiping together. And that was just a really powerful moment for me. I just started praying. I was talking to God while we were singing, and it was really, really intimate. And I just had a really cool moment. And then, worshiping with everybody, with 160 people, I think that's just awesome. We have 160 people singing the same thing and praising God and, knowing that we all know, we all believe the same thing and know the same thing, and just singing praises to God. That's just always really cool. So we keep talking about this Nick guy. This is Nick. All right, Nick is actually one of our counselors, and this was his first year at camp, and you were awesome, man. I mean, just, you want to talk about a guy who took 120% and just jumped in both feet and was ready to go. From the minute he got there to the minute he left, he was fantastic. Just running around with these kids. I mean, he looked like a big kid himself, but that was because all of the kids were just chasing him around. He was the Pied Piper at times with, you know, I mean, running the mudder and diving through the mud, and it was crazy, so. Thank you for being a part of all of this, Nick. It was awesome. But that's who we keep talking about with Nick. Nick, not that Nick, that Nick. So I'm going to ask the staff the same things. I'm going to pass this around. What did you take away from the week, right? What is it that that really struck you? So where do you want to start? You want to start over there? You want to start over there? Over there. All right, sir. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. Jerry's going to start for us here.
Well, to be truthful, the thing I took most out of this is that if I'm going to stay with this camp, I need to find an easier job. And so what I found is I'm either going to get Herman's or Jody's. And I'm going to want that golf cart. But I thought the camp was great. And I think it's great that all these kids have this hope and that they're going to be out there really making a difference. And that's what I like.
I think this is my third year at camp. First 2 years I was in the kitchen. And this year I got recruited to be one of the counselors. And I think I'm just amazed at the ministry that is going on out of this church and with the youth out there. This year, I know Saturday we had a bunch of people come out and help set up, and then, like Brian said, Friday we had people come out to help take down and stuff like that. It's pretty amazing. The thing that really amazes me is we're all self-sufficient out there. In other words, we have a kitchen staff. Richard does the honchoing of the cooking and stuff, but we've got a kitchen staff that fixes the meals, cleans up. I mean, that amazes me. We've got young guys come in like Nick and Hayden and a couple of others, and exactly what Ben was saying. I mean, we threw these guys in the deep end of the pool, and all they could do was dog paddle, and we threw them in. And so every night we would come in and they would be duct taped to the wall, so we'd cut them down and let them get some rest, and they'd go at it again the next day. But anyway, I'm super excited to be part of the ministry and stuff. And we, as Herman keeps pointing out, I mean, this is a huge ministry out there, and we are at least I'm hopeful that we are really having a real impact on these young people's lives. So.
If you can't tell, my voice is a little gone from this past week. I had a blast this week. Like they were saying, I was one of the campers, basically. I was in there playing Nine Square in the Air, Gaga, everything that the kids were doing and everything, trying to keep them entertained so they didn't get bored, I guess. But one thing I did take away from this week, it was just how powerful one week out of the entire year can be, just spiritually, just with all these kids and just going through the week and just, like, learning so much in one week that you can, like, it's amazing how much you can learn in one week. Sixth and seventh graders, they were definitely a big group to handle. But, it was fun. It was a blast, so.
So I would say this year the takeaway for me was on the same vein as Ed. This ministry is huge. Chris and I sat back and watched these kids that were third graders when they started fourth grade. Ryan McKenzie was third. Come in and just lead like rock stars, guys. I mean, they're ready to continue this momentum. We had three kids come up that weren't able to be counselors just to come to be around. I mean, they came to be there. They were up Friday morning helping us take down curtains. They wanted to help with whatever they could do, and they said, thanks for giving me a bed. I mean, they just wanted to be there. Gillette came up just so he could hang out for the day. So for me, the biggest takeaway is we have the momentum with a group of kids that I never would have imagined for the future. You're looking at some of them right here, but this is just a small piece of what's really happening. So, I mean, God's working big things here through this church. So
I appreciate the opportunity.
I think my biggest thing is just watching the change in the kids. I mean, the first day they get there and they're all in their little friend groups and stuff like that, you know, and worship and stuff. As the week goes on, they're all hugging and dancing and everything together. And, I mean, that's just amazing to me how much they get to know each other. And then they're crying the last day on, you know, how much they've learned and they miss each other and all that. So I think it's just very unique and awesome.
Want to share with Chris, Laurie, Larry. Jody had a grandson, and a couple years ago he went to a church camp, and he got bullied, and he came home and told his parents, I never want to go to church camp again. I'm through with them. So when Jody was coming down here, he drove down, he asked his grandson, do you want to go to the church camp? And he said, well, okay, I'll go. And on the way home, he told his grandfather, Jody, he said, man, I loved it. He said, I think the most important thing to me was what I learned about God, about Jesus. He said, man, I've never learned that much. And Jody was just overwhelmed with joy about his grandson. And he said, his grandson said, can I come next year? And Jody said, I don't know. And so, but it was just, I think what I carried away was watching 120 young people have fun and worship God, study His Word, be interested in His Word, taking notes, concentrating. Fourth grade was the youngest, right? And fourth graders concentrating, taking notes, and just feedback was great. It was a great encouragement to me for this church to keep doing what we do.
I'm not going to talk long. I will do that for you now, then. 10-minute speech. God goes ahead and He stands behind, and it's just evident every year over and over that when we are trusting Him, He provides in huge ways that we cannot imagine. I always think about Dan and Pat Hill saying when they first went to Africa, they said, man, we're excited to take Jesus to Africa. And they realized how arrogant that was. Jesus was already there. And that's us. Wow, we're going to take Jesus to all these kids. No, Jesus is already in their life. God is pursuing them every day. He pursues us every day. He makes Himself known to us every day. And we have to decide to believe in Him or reject Him. We each just see one piece while we're at camp, you know. So every one of us have all these memories in our mind of what we saw and got what God graced us to share with us. And thousands of other things happen we will never even know about. And we may see it in the next year. We may see it in 20 years. We may never see it until we're in eternity. But God is faithful, and it is amazing. I want to share one last thing with you guys. Stanley, who was the bus driver on the bus with me, he was our bus driver coming up. And just got to talk to him a little bit, and he was kind of closed off. And then the more, as we were driving and he was watching the kids and everything when we got off, I said, hey, will you be our driver on Friday? He said, well, I'll be in Canada this week. I'll be in Colorado. I don't even know where I'm going to go. We'll see. But he said, I just want to tell you, I've never had this clean of a bus. And these kids are, it's amazing. I'm just watching. So then Friday, he was there. And he just came up and gave me a hug. He said, I've been praying all week, and I want to come to your church. So, sorry. I said, God, you're already there. He'd been praying before he ever met any of us. He said, the spirit of the people at this camp that I met, talking to you, talking to other staff, seeing the kids, it's real. He went to Dallas Theological Seminary. If you would never... He said most people that ride the bus from other church camps never ask him any questions, never try to get to know him, show him any love. He just watches. He was a music minister for many, many, many years. He has many skills and gifts that God has given him. And he said, I want to come to your church. I see God. I see it's real. And Herman had asked us just 2 days before, how can we do community outreach in our church? what can we do, you know, with bringing some more people into music? And I'm talking to him, and we're just talking on the back, and he said what his gifts are. He works in music ministry, and he helps churches to grow in their music within their church, not just having people sing, but choir or whatever it might be. And he does community outreach, and he started talking about some plans that he had that we could reach into some of the apartments here and do some other things, and that's God, y'all. That's not us. That's trusting in the Spirit, and that's God walking ahead and standing behind. So if you guys would also pray for Stanley, and he wants to be here, so let's just pray that he gets here. So.
We'll let Ben make up the other 7 minutes. So it was an amazing week, and we're going to end here with a slideshow and then sing a song. But what I took away from this week, it was summed up. I was standing on the beach after the luau, and the luau is Wednesday night, and it's an awesome event. We prayed together, and we're worshiping together, and just enjoying fellowship together out on the beach. And when we got done, we were putting everything up, and people are scrambling around trying to get the beach cleaned up and everything straightened out and put up where it needs to go. And one of the young ladies who'd been coming for a number of years ran up to me, and she just threw her arms around me and said, "Mr. Chris, thank you for putting this together." And just, I mean, tears were just flowing down her face, and she just gave me the biggest hug, and that summed it up for me. And it's not what we put together, it's what God put together and has allowed us to be a part of. Because, y'all, I mean, look around. We couldn't, all of us combined, could not put this on. I mean, we would all, half of us would be, you know, well, I won't even go there, but most of us wouldn't make it for the whole week. So it's not about what we've done. It's not about what this minister or what this church has done. It is about what God has done, and it's about being available to Him and allowing Him to work through us. So when we find ourselves in a position of, man, you know, we don't have this or we don't have that, or you know, if this church could do this, or well, we don't have much of a building or whatever, stop and remember that God has infinite power to do whatever He wants through all of us. And this thing is doing just that. It's touching these kids, it's teaching these kids, and it's pretty amazing, and it's very humbling to be a part of it. The number of people that have just jumped in with both feet and taken, you know, they'll take a whole week off, or they'll pray all week, or they'll run administration all week, or they'll cook until they, you know, 10 o'clock at night and they're still cooking bacon. So we required Mr. Langston to take a shower every night because he'd cook bacon till 10, and then the next night he'd come in and he'd cook sausage till 10. And we're like, no, we can't keep going to bed like this. This is crazy. So he would come in. But, I mean, seriously, Mr. Langston is up at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. He's in the kitchen, and then 10 o'clock at night he's flipping bacon for 2 hours, and then they're making 300 enchiladas, or they're making – and these guys work their hands raw trying to keep up with the food. And I don't think that if anybody went away hungry this year, it was strictly because they're really, really, really picky. The food was incredible. So on that note, we're going to switch it over to input. We're going to see a little bit of a slideshow here. Then we're going to sing a song. We're gonna try to sing a song in closing, and if we can get the if you flip it to input. See if this will work. He's got a note over here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on this. Okay, so you have what a savior on it?
Yeah.
All right. Ready? All right, I will manually run this thing, so we'll see. Everybody join us?
Jesus, what a Savior, what a brother, what a friend, lifter of the lowly. God, you meet me where I am.
Hallelujah, what a wonderful.
Morning to look back and reflect a little bit on camp. We thank you this morning, Father, for the opportunity for all of us to see the wonderful blessings that you have given to us through the ministry of these young people, to these young people. And Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us in glorifying you in the way that we plan things, in the way that we put things together, in the way that we celebrate the young people. And Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for your Savior, our Savior, your Son. Father, we thank you for all of these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Amen.